Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. Hope you've had a great week. If you're a new listener, I just want to let you know this is a two-hour show. In the first hour, I interview people on the street and on a different topic each week. And in the second hour, we balance the intellectual with the creative by featuring in-depth interviews with highly talented guests from all areas of the arts. And in both hours, we try to bear in mind the underlying theme of It's Question of Balance, the exploration of whether we have more in common than divides us. In the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing award-winning literary journalist and narrative non-fiction author William Finnegan. A highly regarded war reporter and literary journalist, William has written for many publications and has been a staff writer at The New Yorker since 1987. He's received many journalism awards, including two Overseas Press Club awards since 2009. And he's written five books: Crossing the Line, A Year in the Land of Apartheid, Dateline Soweto, Travels with Black South African Reporters, A Complicated War, The Harrowing of Mozambique, Cold New World, Growing Up in a Harder Country, which deals with the bleak lives of American teenagers in spite of the United States' economic affluence, and his newly published memoir, Barbarian Days, A Surfing Life. So I'm really looking forward to talking to William Finnegan. That's coming up in the second hour. For questions that matter this week, we are considering, whose country is America? And the Out and About feature is designed to get us thinking. So as I'm talking to people on the street, perhaps you can have a think about what you would have responded to the questions had I stopped you on the street. Well, first this week, I spoke to John and Talisa. So let's hear what they have to say. Hello, my name is Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
John.
Talisa.
Well, thanks, John and Talisa, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, our topic is, whose country is America? On the website takingourcountryback.net, it states, we are typical citizens, patriots who love our country. We are concerned with the direction our country is headed, realizing we have moved seriously off base. We yearn for our country to return to the founding principles which made us the greatest country on earth. So I'm wondering who we are taking back our country from. And when you think of our country, who does that "our" encompass in your mind? Is it sort of everyone who's a citizen or everyone who lives here or a certain kind of person who represents the real values of America? So I'm just wondering, when you think of our country, who does that include for you?
For me, that would be American citizens. Yeah, I think that people that live here, for the most part. You have anything to put in?
No, yeah, anybody, American citizens, like you're saying, or like you're saying about morals or values, I think anybody who wants to be an American can be an American, and yeah, I don't think it's any specific person.
So when you think of an American, you talked about values. What kind of values do you make someone an American?
I guess the want to be in a country that has freedom, I guess, and doesn't have, yeah, that has freedom. I don't know.
What about you? What do you think about values or what it means to be an American?
Gosh, I would say for me the most important part is probably the democracy, which I think is what you're getting at a little bit with it being, it feels like it's broken right now. But there's so many cliches that come to mind when talking about Americans, but it seems, for me, it would be people that want to take part in a democracy and want to. There's something special about this country. When you go traveling to other countries and you come back, you realize that there is something that makes us different. And I've always had a really hard time putting that into words.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're going into this sort of political ramping up, you know, with the presidential nominations and all of that. We're hearing a lot about what our country is. Mm-hmm. And certain people, even though we're in a democracy, are feeling like a lot of what is happening even though it may have been democratically placed, is not what our country is about. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of perceive that? You know, I mean, why do one group of people get to say this is our country? And do you ever find yourself kind of feeling like your country is not perhaps other Americans' country?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult when you have... So I think it's what kind of makes America a hard thing to have function is that we have such a large country with so many different subsets of people. And the regional differences are huge. The cultural differences are huge. But when talking about what is our country and if I feel like my country is being taken away, for the most part, I just want to live in a country where we can take care of each other and kind of like let live, you know, mm-hmm. let other people do what they want to do while at the same time all being good to one another.
Right. I mean, sometimes it feels like when people are talking about our country, they're kind of hearkening back to a certain era where there was a certain demographic, perhaps, you know, racially and socioeconomically and the American dream and all of that, that encompasses a certain look to America. Is that something that you feel goes hand in hand with our country in your mind?
So with like people saying about, wait, can you read the question?
Probably not now. Okay, let me think. Sometimes there's a sense that when people are talking about our country that they are talking about a specific time period and look to the country. If you kind of think of maybe like the 1950s where you had this sort of perfect little nuclear family and perhaps predominantly white and middle class and, you know, going to the ball game. I don't know, I'm just making this up, but, you know, sort of like a certain kind of, that's when our country was what it America is. I mean, do you have any sense of that or is...
I think, I don't know, I feel my view on that is kind of like, back then it seems to be, I think of like propaganda with something like that with people. I mean, I guess that's not what we were going for. Or it wasn't great back in the 1950s. I think people romanticize periods like that. I mean, it was awful back in the 1950s. It wasn't great as it is. It isn't great now. Yeah.
It's a bit like when you look back at the aristocracy, you know, and you look at Downton Abbey. It was great for a small percentage of people, and for everyone else, it was not so ideal. Do you think hyphenate terminology for Americans is helpful or divisive? You know, sort of African American, Asian American, Italian American. You know, on one side it sort of preserves cultural identity, but on the other side maybe it prevents us from seeing us all as Americans. Do you have a thought on that?
That's a really good point. You know, I've never really thought about that before, because it's just been used so much my entire life. But I don't know if I find it divisive. I'm sure someone could argue that for me, but I don't see it as divisive yet, at least, because I think, at least for our generation in this time, we're all trying so hard to move past that we can still, you know, identify with certain subgroups without viewing that in a negative way.
What do you think?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it the other day, but with Asian Americans, but I couldn't really get in a decision. I don't know. I really don't know what I think about it. I guess
it's sort of, I was thinking about it because it's not all ethnic groups. Like, I'm an American citizen, but I don't call myself British American or English American. And you don't necessarily hear sort of French American or Polish American as much as you might hear other.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I just started to wonder whether it does give a sort of precedence to people who don't have a hyphenate, that they're actually American.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's sort of, you can go either way.
It goes back to, because a lot of the immigrants were of European descent. I guess that's why we don't associate with, say, like, yeah, like, I'm German, but I don't call myself German American or something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something to that, where it's later immigrants, for some reason, we started to don't know. That's a good thing to think about. I don't know.
I think it partially has to do with the cultural subtext, too. Like, if I think about Italian Americans, I think about a lot of people with family histories living in similar areas for long generations of time. Whereas my family is, like, really spread out across the United States, and we haven't really stayed together, like, culturally or as a family necessarily. We've been moving all over the place. So that might be a part of it. But, yeah, I've never really thought about it being divisive before.
Yeah. You can start asking people.
Do a straw poll, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I have an opinion. I think it could go either way. Uh-huh. But I just started thinking about it, you know, like with African-American, I mean, in one sense it's giving them, you know, a cultural identity that recognizes their heritage. On the other hand, does it possibly make them separate, more separate still than just if they were just American? And I'm not sure what the answer is, so it's kind of why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic this week, whose country is America? We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my conversations with people on the street. And this week's topic is whose country is America? And for out and about, I talk to whoever agrees to stop and be interviewed. So I have no idea what people are going to say in advance. But the idea is that hearing their thoughts will stimulate our own ideas on the topic. So while you're listening to this, if you have any ideas that you would like to share, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd like to hear your opinions. Well, for out and about this week, next I spoke to Cece. So let's hear what she had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Cece.
Well, thanks for stopping, Cece, for our Out and About feature. And this week our topic is, whose country is America? In an article in Good Housekeeping called Whose Country Is This? The following is stated. There can't be too many inhabitants of the right kind distributed in the right place. We must have nothing to do with those who undermined it. We might avoid this danger were we insistent that the immigrant, before he leaves foreign soil, is temperamentally keyed for our national background. There are racial considerations too grave to be brushed aside for any sentimental reasons. Biological laws tell us that certain divergent people will not mix or blend. It is only when the alien adds vigor to our stock that he is wanted. Our obligation is to maintain that citizenship at its best. Calvin Coolidge wrote this when vice president-elect. He then became president of the United States and served from 1923 to 1929. So our obligation is to maintain that citizenship at its best. This is similar to many statements we hear today about our country and how we need to maintain it, or that we need to take back our country. So I'm interested in who the we are in these statements and who get to define our country. And so I'm wondering, when you think of our country, who does that our encompass in your mind? Is it sort of everyone who's a citizen or everyone who lives here? Or is there a certain kind of person who represents the real values of America and it's their country? What are your thoughts?
Wow, what a big question. It makes my heart beat really fast. Well, of course, right off the top of my head, I'm like, you know, this is the year of the gay. Because the United States finally passed, you know, gay marriage rights.
Right.
And that is an evolution, I think, in of civil rights movements. And when I think of our, you know, I'm one of those people, I was born here. But when I think of our America, you know, I think us is the immigrants. The United States of America was founded on immigrants. We came here to escape the King of England and form this new country and create all these new things. And in the big scheme of things, we are kind of like a junior high bully because we're young in our evolution compared to, you know, Europe and where we ran away from. But I still think us is the immigrants, and that that's who we are. We all came here from somewhere else. There's very few Native Americans left, you know, in the United States.
There seems to be inherent in the our country statement that we hear a lot in the political arena something about some immigrants being better than others, you know, that our country belongs to a certain period of immigration. And interestingly, this article from Good Housekeeping that I quoted from, it was not long after that they tried to put, they did actually pass a law in 1924 that really changed immigration to favor a certain type of European that reflected the census, I think from 1890. And so there was a feeling that those were the real, those represented Americans, and it was kind of their country, and we wanted to keep that. And, you know, so I'm thinking when we hear today about our country, there's this sort of almost acceptance that a certain group of people are real Americans. I mean, do you think
right.
of that at all?
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of people in the United States think that, and I think that it's bull. You know, and that there's this, again, it's a symptom of not having a long-term vision or a historical perspective. Mm-hmm. All of that is a backlash. It's like, oh, I'm running away from the King of England. I'm going to go start my own thing. Uh-oh, I have to be afraid. And like the fear comes in as an element that what happens to people, and then I'm like, okay, well, I got to be afraid because if these people come in, they're going to take something away from me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of being a really new country that we don't like to look at, and that is a backlash and fear factor, right? And so then let's move ahead. Now, like my first statement was about gay marriage. That is an evolution of a nation starting to grow. And I see us as, are we going to go into special ed or are we going to go to a graduate program? The United States can choose, because in the evolution of our nation, we've had presidents that either want to kiss the girls or hit the boys. And so that's why I evaluate this junior high mentality. We have a junior high mentality, all of us, you know, me and everybody else in the United States, as because that's who we are. And so we have to choose to have a historical perspective, look forward to the future, and not just be so selfish and think about ourselves. And if we can do that, you know, we hopefully can be a better nation and be the kind of country that people want to be a part of and not live in fear of that somebody's going to take something away from us.
Mm, that's an interesting point. Thinking about this, I was wondering whether hyphenate terminology for Americans is helpful or divisive, you know, sort of African-American, Asian-American, Italian-American. You know, on the one hand, it's preserving cultural identity. On the other hand, maybe it prevents us from seeing all of us just as Americans and, I don't know, maybe give some precedence to the people who are just American rather than something American. I don't know. I don't know that I know what I think about this. Do you have a thought?
Well, I just think there are no Americans. Like I said before, it's like, you know, we're all immigrants. You know, maybe if we could change the language, you know, I just came up with that off the top of my head, but if we change the language, say, we're all immigrants, well, then we wouldn't view ourselves as separate. I mean, the thing is, how do we see all of us together as the same and equal? You know, and the separation of, I think people want their own personal identity. So if I call myself, you know, a lesbian American or African American or a Latino American or whatever it is, it's part of trying to identify with a group of people so you can feel at home and part of. And that's what we all want. That's originally why we're all here. Everybody wants to feel at home and safe, right? Yeah. And how do we create that? I don't know.
I'm just wondering whether, if instead we all felt at home in America as Americans, I mean, I guess that means that we have to get along a lot better and appreciate each other's difference and not be competing, you know, but I'm just wondering whether that would help us to feel more of a national community.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I agree. How does that happen, or how do we do that? You know, it's you know.
Yeah, maybe just start thinking about it as part of it. I think.
Yeah, you know, and asking questions. You're asking questions. You're putting on the radio, and that's really important. People need to hear these voices and hear differing opinions, and see how we see find like look for the common goal, look for the commonalities, and not the differences. And if that could be a place to start. You know, what do we have in common? Mm. You know, rather than what are our differences?
I mean, when you think of being an American, what does that mean to you? Do you have certain ideas about that, or putting you on the spot?
Right. Well, I think that...
Or values,
to me,
you know.
Well, to me, it means that we are lucky and privileged and that we have a responsibility in that luckiness and privilegedness because there are so many people around the world that don't have freedom.
Right,
and don't have civil rights or don't have food to eat or, you know, houses. Or and yes, we have issues here in America, but compared to other places, I just think we're a pretty rich country and we should be helping other people more. And if we all saw that, if people realize how lucky they were, they just don't get it. Mm. It's like they have the sense of entitlement and that they don't even know where it comes from. Mm. And then they don't think about the guy next door or the other person or somebody else, you know, in another country. We're really isolated. It's like, you know, American kids, you can ask them, look on a map and, oh, where's this place or where's that place? They think the United States is the center of the universe.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, education is the answer to all of these questions. And if the United States will put money into public education to educate our young people to look, have a more global perspective, then we could be a better nation.
Speaking to what you were saying, a lot of Americans, I mean, I'm an American citizen as well as a British citizen. If you ask people what it means to be American, they'll say freedom. There's obviously a lot of countries in the world that are just as free as America. So is there something particular about American freedom that seems more free to you? Or are there any other values that you think kind of define being an American? Or
I think that freedom language came from, again, what I said, running away from the King of England and establishing this new country. And so that it just got institutionalized in its memory as that's the thing we're doing here. Yeah. Where, so that's why it's a misuse of that word. Yeah. Right? Like you said, there's definitely a lot of people that are oppressed, but there's a lot of people that are free. I mean,
I would love to live in a country that had socialized medicine and free education. I mean, there's so many countries that are amazingly great that have these things that really give you freedom. Socialized medicine and free education give you freedom. That's where you get freedom, and that we don't have that here. I mean, every university student goes into debt here in America trying to get an education in order to be, employable in the global economy. Mm.
I mean, do you think, in terms of thinking of our country, there's an element of choice because of what you were saying about the huge immigration? You know, I mean, obviously everyone who's come here is an immigrant at some point, but because people are actively choosing America as their country rather than, in a lot of cases, being born here, do you think that also gives the sense of it being our country?
Well, that could be, yes, of course. When you have a choice, you're like, I choose to live here, this is my choice, then you're going to certainly feel like you have more freedom because you made that choice. Freedom is choice. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate
it. All right. Well, you're welcome. Thanks for asking.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my On the Street conversations. Thanks to Cece there. Well, next, I spoke to Lynn. So let's hear what he had to say.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Lynn.
Thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about whose country is America?
You're talking about America. You're talking about the political system. And who in that political system is controlling the country?
Right.
The politics control the country. The people is the mean. When the people are the mean, that's why there's a propaganda from that coup control country to get support.
But certain parts of the political spectrum, I mean, maybe on either side, get to kind of say, this is what America should be like, and this is our country, and we need it to be like this.
But that's only ideology of that group of people.
Okay.
Whoever group of that people is running, they try to get support from the people. People to me.
Okay.
So getting the people to support is a way of, like, putting them in power.
So when you think of our country, what makes it our country to you? Do you think, like, everybody who lives here, it's their country, or...?
Yes, because if you're part of this citizenship, this is our country.
Okay.
But are we controlling the political system? That is another thing.
Ah, so you're sort of saying in that sense it's not our country because we're not
a country because, you know, the power vests into a small group of people, internal democratic.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because that democratic process, like, the people elect people. But in some turn, the power is still controlling a small group of people. They're controlling all the law, policy and all that, see?
Mm. So that's...
We only the mean for a certain group of people to exert the power and control.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. I guess that's why half of America feels it's their country and the other half feels it's theirs.
That's why we have a Democratic and Republican, because we have certain group of people have certain mindset. They want to show, they want to radiate, or they want to expose themselves as a control in the country.
Right. When I was thinking about this, I found myself wondering whether hyphenate terminology for Americans is helpful or divisive.
It is divisive, polarized, because that's why we're two party.
So, I mean, also thinking of, like, you know, we say African American or Asian American rather than just American. And there's one side of that is it, you know, gives people their cultural identity as well as being American. But on the other side, maybe it prevents us from seeing all of us as just Americans. What are your thoughts on that?
The ideology, the foundation is we are America. Yes, we are. But under that, we have different groups.
Right.
In terms of different group, but we still have to live by that ideology of, like, we are America.
Okay.
But within that group, within that that span, that different group, they define it that, like, I'm this and that, because under that I can define myself America.
Right. What does being American mean to you? Is it like living in the country?
Living in a country and follow the law, live by the established rule of the society. That's what America's all about. You have to play by the rule of this country.
Right.
When you play by the rule of this country, You are America.
Okay. But what you were saying earlier is, in some ways, the rules of the country don't reflect all of the people who live here.
No, I don't. Because you know what? It govern, it drive a certain people, certain group. And it happened, we just tag along, minority, whatever, it tag along, they benefit from that rule that established for certain people.
Right, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, because, you know, the law creates a certain group of people.
Hmm.
Understand that. Then the minority, the Asian, the African-American, the whoever does, you know, the foreigner came here, it just happened to be beneficial or tag along for the beneficial.
Right.
Remember, this country found a certain group of people, by certain group of people,
yep.
Immigrant. But also, that immigrant have a certain rule, they write certain rules, certain law to fit them. Then happen to be people come after that, just happen to be absorb the benefit of that law, but does not mean control that, but does not mean like they're equal to the people who write the country.
Right.
You have to understand that.
So in some ways we need to update the system so that it's more reflective in some way of all Americans.
The founding, the law, it's for everybody.
Hmm.
But that's the ideal.
Yes.
But it's not for everybody.
Right.
But if I'm in a controlling power, I want to maintain that power.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I write so many laws in the country to maintain my power.
Yeah.
Then whoever outside of that power is just the outsider.
Yes.
The black, the Asian, the Hispanic don't control this country.
No. Well, hopefully that will become more reflected over time.
It reflected because they allow certain people to get in like a certain minority. Like they have to have a certain minority.
Yeah.
But the overall power is still a certain group of people.
Yes, yeah.
They give us a little bit so they feel we don't revolt, so we feel like we are part of the system.
Mm.
But actually running the system, we don't run the system. It's the control elite run the system.
Yeah. All of these things are cyclical, and so it's very unlikely to remain as it is now. And I think there's a lot of people who are aware of the issue who are trying to define what it means to be an American and to try and distribute power more evenly. It's hard to do,
but it's really difficult to do because the people in power don't want to give up power.
I mean, with everything that you're saying, are you still able to feel this is your country?
Yes, in turn of like, if I don't chase after somebody of power, if I don't step in somebody's toes, if I don't threaten the economic, you know, catacomb, if I don't threaten the power, if I just like work as a normal citizen, then I'm okay. But if I'm chasing after the power, and then well, oh, they will strike me down.
Mm.
America is based on that control, or any other society, same Russia, Europe, Asia, everywhere. It's about. Don't want to lose that control. It happens to be like this country is more democratic, Western more democratic, that's why they let people vote it in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still controlled by certain group of people, special interests, lobbying.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's true. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
It's just a set of observations of human nature. I'm just one voice.
Well, thank you.
The thinking voice.
Yes, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And that's life.
Yeah.
That's society.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and my On the Street Conversations. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, "I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things." Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, in my on-the-street conversations on this week's topic for Out and About. And I want to thank everyone who's taken part this week. It's somewhat daunting to be stopped on the street and asked to give your thoughts on quite deep topics, really. So I am very appreciative of the people who did that this week and also in previous weeks. And I'm wondering, as a listener, what would you have answered if I'd stopped you on the street and asked you these questions? Just wondering what's going through your mind as people are giving their thoughts, what your thoughts are on this week's topic. Well, the next people giving their off-the-cuff thoughts to me are Deb and Paul. So let's hear what they have to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Deb.
Paul Gallagher.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at whose country is America? In a speech to Congress against the Immigration Act of 1924, Congressman Robert H. Clancy stated, "My family put 11 men and boys into the Revolutionary War, and I'm sure they and their women and children did not suffer so bitterly and sacrifice until it hurt to establish the autocracy of bigotry and intolerance which exists in many quarters today in this country. Some of these men and boys shed their blood and left their bodies to rot on American battlefields. To me, real Americanism and the American flag are the product of the blood of men and of the tears of women and children of a different type than the rampant Americanizers of today." Well, this act that he was speaking against was passed and made U.S. immigration law reflect the racial and ethnic makeup of the United States according to the 1890 census. And in this calculus, some people were more fit to become Americans than others. Northwestern Europeans were 6 to 7 times more likely to gain admission than Eastern and Southern Europeans. And it rested upon a certain definition of who should belong in our country. And we hear a lot today about our country, about taking back our country. So I'm just wondering, when you think of our country, who does that "our" encompass in your mind? Is it anyone who's a citizen? Is it everyone who lives here? Or is there a certain kind of person who represents the real values of America and it's their country? What are your thoughts?
You know, there's kind of the myth of America. And the myth of America is that anyone can come here, any immigrant can come here, like my father, and work his way up and make things better for his child and send them to university and they can prosper and go forward. So the American dream, it's the myth of the American dream. And it's changed over time. I think today, our country really is, corporations own our country. Mm. Everyone's been bought off, politicians have been paid off. It's a disgrace. And then there's splinter groups that talk about our country, and they represent very myopic type of views. Some are from, you know, that display racial prejudice. But for this country to really be our country, it needs to embrace all immigrants everywhere from any country, because that's what made this country strong. It's a diversity. It's a melting pot. And if we don't have that, and if we don't have some type of equality here where it's not being run by the 1%, it's going to continue to decay the way that it has been.
So in your sense, there's two kinds of it not being everybody's country in terms of perhaps the ethnicity aspect and also the socioeconomic aspect. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's the whole socioeconomic side of it. And then, you know, it's disgraceful, these people talking about putting up walls to keep out the Mexicans, and people like Donald Trump making the kinds of comments that he makes. That's not what this country's all about. This country's about, you know, equality for all, or at least that's the great dream. Mm. Again, unfortunately, I think we were tipped off by Eisenhower in 59 when he said, beware of the military-industrial complex. That tends to rule. You have people like the, you know, Koch brothers and these guys that are just, you know, buying off politicians, and it's sad. Mm. It's sad.
What about you? When you think of our country, what does that bring up to you in your mind?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of rhetoric, you know, that people have, politicians especially, about let's take America back. You know, it's been a theme since the Reagan times, like taking America back. And, you know, ours, like there's some kind of moral, you know, values that they have monopoly on.
Back to when? Exactly.
Yeah, back to when, exactly. You know, as opposed to forward, you know. When it's like our country, we need to take our country back, it seems like there's this exclusivity about it when people say that. But for me personally, when I think of our country, I think of it as everyday people that live here, including those who are here illegally, citizens and not. You know, I think clearly it's a problem that, you know, we don't have enough resources to absorb just endless immigrants from everywhere. But, you know, our country has a long history of taking in immigrants and making room for them and, you know, finding a way for them to contribute. And I think of, when I think of it personally, as our country, I think of it as all of us, the everyday people.
When I was thinking about this, I started thinking about whether hyphenate terminology for Americans is helpful or divisive. African American, Irish American, Asian American, Italian American. You know, on one hand, it sort of preserves a cultural identity, and on the other hand, maybe it prevents us from seeing us all just as Americans, and maybe even gives a precedence to the people who don't have a kind of hyphen before they're American. They're just American. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I don't really see it as being divisive, but then that's my point of view. I'm pretty, you know, open. Some people could use it in a divisive way. I think the thing with the Americans in general is that we're really good people. There's not really good people here. If you have any kind of a disaster, you know, everybody shows up to help. Mm-hmm. And I think we're very unique like that in the world. I think we just have to have the infrastructure in place, you know, a government for the people, by the people, so that we can not be spending $500 million on fighter jets and put that into education. That's the biggest, I think, shortfall of this country right now, given the global economy, is that we just don't educate people. And some of that may be on purpose because it keeps people down and it keeps them from causing trouble. But, you know, I think to have really have our America, we need to have a good educational system as a basis.
What are your thoughts on the whole hyphenate terminology thing?
Well, I spent a good time of my after college period in Chicago, and it was very much a theme there of neighborhoods, distinct cultural neighborhoods, Italian section, Polish section, you know, very much like New York. And I felt like that really was America for those people to say, you know, we've brought a bit of Poland here, we've brought a bit of Africa here, we've brought, you know, the Puerto Rican, you know, like, and preserving culture and still being American. I feel like I don't begrudge anyone who likes to think of themselves as, you know, Japanese American or whatever, because it's both. I think you can have both, and I don't think it's necessarily exclusive.
Right.
I don't think it, I mean, I think it can be used as divisive, but I feel like people have been identifying like that for a long time, where they came from, and also American. So it's neutral to me. And I think it's like, if you lose that and you just call yourself American, I feel like you're kind of losing some part of history, you know, of like, we all came from different places, and, I feel like it's a place where people have freedom to continue their traditions and their culture and their religion. And and if you take that away and you just say, well, I'm an American, I'm not Japanese American, then like, well, what about your ancestors? I feel like other countries have such rich history, you know, that's very conscious and part of the education. And our country is so young that we need to bring that along with people.
You know, I came here from Ireland, and I'm proud to be an American, but I'm not proud of our government. I'm not proud of the things they've done, in the Middle East, to just absolutely turn things upside down because of greed.
Someone else I was interviewing was saying that, in a sense, he didn't feel it was his country because the people running the country are not really very representative of most people.
They're not.
And the views and wishes of most people. Would you
subscribe to that? Yeah, absolutely agree.
Yeah,
when I think of our country, you know, I feel like it's definitely not run by anyone who's representing, you know, the average person.
That's a whole other topic I'll have to cover another time. Sort of political reform, but well, thank you very much for your opinions. I'm grateful to you stopping.
Thank you.
Thanks for grabbing us off the street.
You're welcome.
Keeping us out of trouble.
Yes.
Keeping us out of the bars.
Right.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. You heard it there, keeping people out of trouble, out of the bars, and involved instead in intellectual conversations. So thanks very much to Deb and Paul there. And I just wanted to say, if you have any comments, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I would be interested in hearing your opinions. Well, finally this week, I spoke to a couple of 18-year-olds to get their perspective from a younger age. So here's Dante and Jody. Let's hear what they had to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Dante.
Jody. Well, thanks very much for talking to me for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at whose country is America? With the presidential nomination process hotting up, we're increasingly being told that our country is falling apart, or that we need to take back our country. So I'm just wondering who we are taking back our country from. And when you think of our country, who does that our encompass in your mind? Is it sort of everyone who's a citizen, everyone who lives here? Or is there a certain kind of person who represents like the real values of America and it's their country? So I'm just wondering, when you think of our country, what you think of?
Personally, I don't really think our country belongs to anyone. I feel like it's kind of a freedom zone, as freedom being said in loose terms, of course. I don't think this outrage people are saying is that our country's falling apart. I don't think that's true at all, especially because, for one, I support a lot of things that have been going on. Like, Obama in himself, I feel, has been a good president, an improvement from a few that we've had in the past.
So what you're really saying is the people who tend to be saying we need to take back our country, for you, your country is not the country that they want necessarily.
I don't think we should strive to be a country to where we're the most powerful country in the world, or a country where everyone is just absolutely happy, or like, in any type of standpoint, there's going to be civil unrest, even if it be in the slightest bit, like someone not being happy with the place they live in, or someone not being happy with the job they have. There's going to always be unhappy people in a country. And to look for an idealistic standpoint in that, and to try and find perfection, it's humanly impossible.
So when you think of our country, do you think about everybody who lives here, that it's all of our country? I mean, what criteria do you think need to be in place for someone to say, this is my country?
I really think if anyone wants to live here and work here, they can say it's their country, even if they haven't gained citizenship at that time. I say if someone crosses the border from Mexico, for instance, and they work, they make a living for themselves, they pay bills, even if they don't pay taxes because they don't have legal citizenship, I think they still have the right to call it their country.
Okay. What about you, Jody? What are your thoughts on when you think of our country? What does that spring to mind for you?
I believe that the people who, like, not only take root here, but who have, like, over their, like, their ancestors who have come over here, or they may have just, like, come over here because it's more convenient for their family living or their welfare in general. I believe that it's pretty much whoever, like, is willing to, as Dante said, like, give an effort to at least give something back to maybe, like, the community around them, like, not just, like, focus on themselves. As long as they think about others, I believe that they can call it their country also.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your opinions.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and that was the last of my On the Street interviews this week. And again, I wanted to thank everybody who stopped and gave me their time to talk about this topic. And remember that you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and hear podcasts of all the previous shows. So we've had some very interesting topics and also some great arts guests from all areas of the arts, designers, writers, musicians, artists, lots of very, very interesting arts guests. So you can check that out there at itsaquestionofbalance.com. And next up is my special guest, award-winning literary journalist and narrative non-fiction author, William Finnegan. He's a highly regarded war reporter and literary journalist, and he's written for many publications and has been a staff writer at The New Yorker since 1987, in addition to writing 5 books. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. And if you enjoy the interview, William Finnegan is going to be at Santa Cruz Mountain Brewing on Tuesday, the 28th at 7 p.m. as part of Bookshop Santa Cruz series Books and Brews, which combines a love of books with a love of beer. So for those of you who like reading and you like your beer, this is a great series for you to go along to. This one with William Finnegan is one of the events, and I'm going to be going to it. He's a very interesting man, very interesting writer. So if you're interested in meeting him in person after you hear the interview, he'll be at Santa Cruz Mountain Brewing this Tuesday, the 28th. At 7 p.m. And also, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow at Bookshop Santa Cruz, Eden Lapucky, my guest from last week, is appearing. So hopefully you might be able to go along to that as well. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this hour. I'll see you next hour.